In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Setting rules for the marital relationship.
Tonight I will discuss with you how to set rules for the newly formed family. Any family must have rules. Without guidelines and rules, the family could lose the direction and the goals. So, we will discuss setting rules for our financial life. Financial. I will start with the financial because this is the most difficult. And then, spiritual life. Three, social life. Four, education and career. Number five, children. Number six, companionship needs and intimacy, which is going to be discussed later in detail. Actually, tomorrow. This will be one of the longest, but the most well needed in any family, for any couple. But tomorrow will be intimacy, marital needs, and companionship. So, the first five, and we'll start by reading the Bible in two passages, one from 1 Timothy chapter 6, 10, 11, 7, and 18, and we'll read from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, starting verse 19. And all of you are familiar till the end, and all of you are very familiar with that part, because we read it in the beginning of the Great Lent. And it's so important to be read. So we'll start by Timothy. It's shorter, 1 Timothy, chapter 6.
Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate.
All of you are aware of the value of the money. It's different than love of the money, which is the root of all evil. Love of the money. And you will find certain definitions for riches and rich different in the Bible than in the world. So he is charging the rich in verse 17 and 18 to give and not to rely on the uncertainty of their own riches, their own wealth. For God is the one who gave us all riches in all things to enjoy. Allah bi'atina kulli shi' bighina littamattu'. And then he will advise the rich what to do by their money. Till Matthew chapter 6 will come in front of you, I want to remind you, what happened to Saint Anthony? Do you remember Saint Anthony the Great, father of all monastic life in the whole world? What was the verse which moved him after the death of his father? He went to the church and he heard that verse which was said by Jesus to the rich man. If you want to be perfect, what? Go and sell all what you have and give to the poor, so you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And Saint Anthony, he had a sister, and he had over 100 acres of good land. Other than the wealth, the money itself, he took his sister and he asked her if she wants, and he set her for a house for the virgins, and then he gave all what he has to the poor and left. And he looked to his dad when he was in the coffin, and he told him, you left everything and you went from the world against your own will, but I will leave the world by my own world. We came to the world without nothing. We're born, we don't bring with us any wealth. And no one will leave the world and he will take with him anything. We will read from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, starting verse 19. It's a long one, but it is very important and applicable to all the rules and guidelines of tonight.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
This is not only for the financial part. When we are set for or prepared and ready for marriage, or even those who are married already, we have to set certain rules, putting in our mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, is in the marriage. We have to care. We have to think of Him. So we cannot set a rule against His will or against His commandment. Be careful of that. Now, if I will start with the financial part, I'm not going to talk in detail. There's so many things written. You could think of it. But I'm sure these days that the divorce rate is getting higher even within the church. And you will find financial problems and troubles is part of it. Of course, those who are concerned so much about finances, they will say over 80% you will find part of it financial. Okay, it's up to them. But for the verse, don't worry about tomorrow, does it mean that we don't budget? What do you think? Is it against budgeting? Which is better, the principle and philosophy of birds of the field or the budget? We'll see that. Why the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in His parable in the New Testament about two-thirds of the parables, there's a mention of money or riches in it. It has to be something important. Money is a gift of God. It's a gift of God to the community of the family. Whether it's coming through the man or the woman, or from any other source, it's coming to one pool. We don't try it on the dollar. This is from male or female, from the man or the woman. No. It's from God. Now, if you take the statement of the bank, what is the name mentioned on the statement? Account of your name, correct? Or joint account, you and your spouse, or you and your daughter, or your son. Is that what's supposed to be? The reality of it is, this money is God's. God and I. You know Jesse Penny, Lord and Taylor? They know what they are saying. At least when I look to a statement and they see my name, I say, yes, this is really for Jesus Christ, J.C. and at least to put in your mind that. So every time you don't look to the money as if it's yours. The money is a gift from God. All what we own is God's. And we are stewards, servants, or managers for His wealth, finances, and money. This is principle number one. Now, the world, those who will study in business schools, they go with a philosophy called OPM. Do you know what is? What is it? Do whatever you want with other people's money. Be away from your own money. Use other people, apostrophe S, money, OPM, principle and policy. Most of the insurance companies are doing that. Many, many companies are doing that. That's why they are getting wealthy. If your principle is like that as an insurance agent, of course you will get wealthy. But you are not using other people's money. You are dealing with God's money. You have to be honest. You have to be very honest in dealing with God's money in whatever career you are. A definition of wealth differs from the world and God. If I tell you someone is wealthy, you would imagine someone living in a big house, very expensive cars, maybe has boats, maybe has special aeroplane, maybe has farms, companies, businesses. But wealth and riches to God is mainly your salvation, your life of salvation, your own life, your eternity, your holy matrimonial life, your holy children, your holy friends. These are the real riches. Money is a gift, is a talent, is a tool just to be used. But it's not the real wealth in my life. There's a big difference between how God and the world look to wealth and money and riches. So, I told you first principle, all what you own is God's. And we are managing His finances. And we have to learn how to manage it right. Actually, honest and in an excellent way. We have to be good managers of the finances of God. Also, in other words, if you are tempted to buy something, think seriously. You are going to pay for it money of God. You have to get certain quotes, at least 3 quotes. I'm talking about something real, not going grocery. You want to buy some furniture, car, get different quotes. Wait for a month at least. Maybe during that month, another priority will come more than that furniture. And for that priority, also get 3 different quotes and wait for another month. Not to rush in hurry and buy. Any two, most probably one of them will be a spender or overspender, and the other is holding, a polite term for the one who's holding. Holding and spender. And there will be some conflict. The one who is spending will describe and label the other one by labels which I don't like to say. And also the one who's holding will label the other spouse with labels which I don't like to say it. but there will be a conflict. How to spend? Someone was raised in a family thinking of the budget and the value of each penny, because they think every penny is God's money and we have to spend it in the right place. And somebody is raised in a very rich family and they don't know that this is God's riches. So whatever you want, spend it. Get whatever. So they are spending their money by whatever way. Maybe, I'm not saying in prodigal living, but they spend it without thinking that it's God's money and God's finances. If the two will marry, there will be a conflict. Then we have to teach the couple before they get into marriage how to budget. God usually chooses opposites to marry to complement one another and to have the money as a way for communication, a tool for communication, not for fighting. Money God is using sometimes to test our faith and the obedience and trust in Him. Sometimes He's using the money to show His love to us. And He's using, as I have said, as a means of communication. So, usually the mentor or the refuge will tell the two who are going into marriage, try to budget for 12 months, and they don't understand what's meant by budgeting, as we are going to describe after some time now. But budget must be for 12 months, I mean for 1 year, especially for those who are in business or even those who are on salary, because certain items you will not use it every month. Could be once a year, and you have to prepare for it, as I'm going to say. So money in the Bible, you will find so many verses. Just put the word rich or money and you get so much on your computer. And how about the credit? Money in the Bible? Credit. It is a myth that if you don't have credit, then you are not a well-respected person. In order to be respected, you have to borrow money and pay it off. Borrow, pay it off. Then you are an honored man. You are trustworthy. Who invented that principle? The Jews. Ask them, are they using credit cards? No. It's a myth. So many are honorable and good, and they want to buy, either they have saving or they go and buy the honor of their employment. They could buy a car, but it's usual to check. They have a check for the credit. This is the business of the credit companies. It became a myth in our minds. We remember our parents and grandparents who were here in this country, in the United States and Australia. They saved to buy. And even some Asians, they come here with the money. They buy when they have the money. You don't have the money, you don't buy. And if you won't use credit, use it wisely. For God's sake, was meant to buy, use it wisely. Use the credit card wisely. If you think twice that you are going to pay what you are buying, cash money, you will think before you pay by credit. But it's easy. A piece, a card, gets what you want. Unless you know that you're going to pay it off completely, end of the month, don't buy. Why? Why do you buy so much interest? Sometimes up to 20% or more. Why? Because you are forced, you are obliged. This is a policy, as I'm telling you now, those who have invented that system are not using it. Ask them on the TV. They are not using it. If you are forced, then you have the money to pay it off. Or you don't have the means to pay it off. Not expecting that money will come one day. Or you are going only to pay the interest. You're not going to pay only the minimum payment. Say you got something by 2,000, minimum payment is, say, $25, you pay the $25. After a year, you'll find the 2,000 how much? Over 3,000. Depend on your interest. Keep it for 5 years. Some are going into marriage, they have 15 credit cards, all of them maxed, full to the max. What are they going to do? So using credit cards, if you won't use it, then you don't want to carry cash in your pocket, and then you will pay it at the end of the month, when the statement will come. In the due time. This is better to do that. And using the credit card in your counter here, is it a tax break? Is it of any benefit in the taxes to use the credit card? Of course not. I don't know who put that in the mind of some. It could be a tax break. It's a myth. It's not real. Now, why I limit myself by boundaries of a budget? God gave me the money as a gift. My wife and I have money. Let us spend and see. If you are a medical doctor, and she's a medical doctor or a lawyer, and you don't know what to do with the so enormous amount of gifts of God to both of you, okay, do it. You are constituting only 5% of the population, maximum. They have excess money and no need to put a budget for themselves. Because whenever they want money, they find it. And the other 5% of the population were holding tightly and think 10 times before they buy anything. Those only constitute under 5%. Those 10%, they are not in trouble. But the majority of us, the 90%, they are in trouble unless they set boundaries and limitation for spending. We call it the budget. And that example, which is written with you, about that kindergarten school, children less than 6 years old playing in a big, huge yard. All of a sudden, they wanted to start a project of 6 or 8 lanes freeway. they took part of the yard of the school. And automobiles are going so fast. And kids want to play in the schoolyard. Of course, they are so afraid of the cars which are going so fast. Then they are playing so close to the building and they don't want to go close to the road, the highway. So someone thought of it and said, no, I have to have a fence at least 6 feet tall fence in height. This 6 feet has to be a boundary between the schoolyard and the freeway. After building that fence, what do you expect to happen? The children used the schoolyard to the limit, to the fence, within the boundary of the budget. They used it in whatever they would like. But if you don't have boundary, you will not know. You might be fearing to spend. Or you go over to the freeway and you will be killed by the freeway, by a car. Financially. Think of it. So boundaries and limitation using a budget is a good idea to manage the finances of God. The easiest way of a budget is not birds of the field system, which means God will feed me anyway. He's feeding the furs, the birds in the field. You don't harvest and they don't keep any food and he gives them food anyway. I don't think so. When do you hear the birds of the field? At what time they wake up in the morning to look for the worms to eat? Very early before you wake up. And they look diligently for the worms to eat. They don't stand in their place asking the world, please jump into our mouth. They work. They toil to get their food. These are birds of the field. Birds of the field, they work. They understood that message the wrong way. They don't worry. They work, but they don't worry. And that chapter, chapter 6, about worry, about what to eat. So, work because you're supposed to work. And have the limits and boundaries set. And go within these bounds and limits. You'll be safe. No accidents will happen. The 12 envelope method for the budget. Each month you have 12 envelopes. And you divide your budget on these 12 envelopes. First envelope is the tithes, salary, other salary, all our income, we see 10% at least. Some put 15, some put 20, some reaches 90% and God is blessing, but at least 10%. You will put the money in this envelope and you will not. Of course you could use your computer. Different pages. But if you want to use this old method of the envelope to see it by yourself, you put money in it. Now, just imagine the idea and then do it the way you like. Taxes. If the taxes are taken from you, from your check, fine. But if you have a business, you have to save the money for the taxes every quarter. So there is an envelope for the taxes. Now deduct those two from the gross income the rest to be the spendable money. Spendable money will be as follows. The third envelope will be for the house, the mortgage, the taxes of the house, insurance of the house, maintenance of the house, phone of the house, and other bills. It must not exceed 30% of the budget, of the spendable money. Then 15% for your automobiles, cars, monthly payment, registration, insurance, gas, maintenance. Then 16%, 1/6, for food, grocery, shopping for food to eat at your home. Then 5% for clothing of the whole family per month. 5%, another envelope. Which number now that envelope is? 7. Yes. Thank you. At least someone is following. 5% for any other kind of insurances, other than what life insurance, disability insurance, any other kind of insurance which you have to pay. Number 8, 5% medical expenses which is not covered, like dental, certain kind of operations, certain clinics which you have to pay if you go to it, cosmetic surgery, infertility surgery, whatever. All these are not covered. So, although you are in a country which health is covered by national health plan, but still there are certain things which are not covered. 5%. Your dental is covered? The majority. Dental is covered? It's very expensive. Do you have any need for any dental work? Of course. No one without. So from where are you going to get the money? Then 7%, envelope number 9, 7% for vacations, and whatever you're going to spend in this vacation, you travel, say you want to travel to Hawaii, to Cancun, to go to Egypt, from where the money is coming, you have to put something in that envelope month by month by month and prepare. These are the expenses for the vacation. Then number 10, other 7% for miscellaneous, whatever you want, presents, perfumes, shampoo, whatever miscellaneous remaining. The last two envelopes, 5% saving, and number 12, 5% payment for the debts. If you have debts, the majority have debts. Now, if any of these envelopes is not important for you, don't use it. Okay, both of you distribute what is in that envelope percentage on the areas needed. But it has to be by the agreement of the two spouses. And think of that on a 12-month plan. 12-month plan. Write on the envelope how much will be your expectation about your salary in 12 months, your income, and write on each envelope from outside what's supposed to be taken from that envelope. Written on it. Or in a computer. So you are within certain boundaries or limits. This is a suggested budget. Of course, both of you, you could work around it. Put it 14 envelopes, 10 envelopes, whatever, it's up to you. This is the budgeting with the bounds and limitation. Quite sufficient for the financial now. I'm not a financial advisor, but I'm trying to do that. Be careful about spending any penny. And if you are in dispute with your spouse, always think of these options. What's the max I want? What's the least? What's the best? What's the worst? And what I could live with. Give these options to your spouse, and he or she will give you the options and see what could you can do. But don't struggle and fight regarding any issue of payment. Now the spiritual. If two are married from the Orthodox Church originally, but one who likes, say, to pray in St. George, and the other in Virgin Mary, which church you are going to go to? It's something so easy. Suppose someone originally from other denomination, say a Catholic originally and an Orthodox, and they marry together. Someday here and someday there, someday here and someday there, and the children confused and perplexed. So you have to think before marriage which church are you going to? Which church are you going to worship in it? Which meeting are you going to attend? If you want to serve in which. So think the two together about that. It causes conflicts. So much conflict. Especially if you start to have children. Children want stability. Sunday school, stable Sunday school. Consistently, every Sunday, they go to the same school, same friends, to have friends. This is our church. They love the church. One of my grandchildren, he was raised going to one of the churches, which is far away from the house of my daughter. But he is very young. But the priest is encouraging him so much because he has a very good musical ear to chanting Alhan, and he knows very well Alhan, and is a very young but good deacon. So he wants his parents to take him, must take him to that particular church. Ya Habibi, Ibn, go to that closed church, say on Saturday. No, even Saturday we have to go to my church. My church, and he's 7 years old. It's my church. Now, the dad originally Catholic and the mom originally Orthodox. The Catholic Mass maximum with the sermon communion will take 45 minutes. Hour, at least 2 to 3 hours. Then, if I give a choice to the child, of course he will go and play in half an hour Mass or 45 minute Mass because he doesn't know the value. Now, are we planning for this what's going to happen before marriage? Children baptize which church? Who will be the godfather, the godmother? Who will take care? Before even getting into that, it has to be planned, setting rule for that. Father of confession, 2 different fathers of confessions, or 1 for the 2 spouses. And if each one prefers to stay with his or her own father of confession, we need a refuge, an advisor for our marital life. Which one of the 2 or a different one? All that discussed before. A rule before the marriage. Now, involvement in the church. Meetings. How much time to be spent in the meetings. And in the service. So someone in charge of a meeting, responsible for a meeting, not Sunday school class only, but responsible for something bigger than that. How much time? We have to discuss that. Responsibilities. Spiritual schedule in our home. Prayer, Bible, fasting, spiritual schedule which the Father of Confession will set. When are we going to pray? Together or each one alone? The Bible, read alone or together? With the children or each one alone and with the children? I have to discuss that. Set these rules. Fasting for us. Which fast we are going to fast? Which one? All of them? Part of them? Wednesday and Friday also? And for our children, ask Abuna when they will come. If you have children, when to fast? What part? The whole fast period? The whole Lent for the children? How old they are? Ask these questions to know. There are certain rules for it. Nothing will go haphazard. So spiritual life rules for our spiritual life. And it's important for us. Social life. Number one will come in the social life who? The in-laws. I mentioned that yesterday, but it's important. The in-laws. Visitation of the in-laws. Taking care of them. Communication with them. Do you prefer going to vacation with them or not? Do you take your parents with you into the vacation? They are lonely and they need someone to take them. Do you prefer to take them with you? Of course, you'll be in another room, but do you want to take them with you or not? Say that, discuss it, and see its effect. The in-laws, relatives, cousins, then friends. Going out, eating out, spending holidays, weekends, within the budget. But what kind of friends? We discussed that yesterday. Social life, our social life. And if we want to spend the vacation, where we are going to spend the vacations? Long one, short time, long time. Do we spend a weekend every month or two somewhere? Eat out how many times? The tendency is to eat out every day, of course. Don't cook. But it's expensive to do that. And you add weight for sure if you do that. Better to be on diet. Healthy food, you get it at your home. If you eat outside, of course, it's a waste. You eat as much as you can to finish the food. So, when to eat out? Anniversaries, birthdays, what to do in it? Think of it. And write all that before you go into marriage or in the beginning of the marriage. What after social? Now financial, spiritual, social. What after that? Education. You want to complete your education. You want to have a master's degree. Your spouse wants to finish preparing for a certain career. Lay off and someone is trying to find a job. No, my wife will get pregnant one day. If she will get pregnant, is she going to work? And when? Maybe the doctor will say no, she can't work because she has a dangerous pregnancy. She must be rested. Am I capable of taking care of the budget? And what to do? So, education. Education and career and job. Of course, we don't want to be laid off, but it could happen. We discuss that. Is it going to affect our womanhood or manhood? Our value as a spouse, anybody could happen to him or her. And if the man will stay home, what is he going to do? If the woman has the work, is he going to be depressed? What kind of chores at the house he will do? And we have to limit our expenses. Then think and discuss and communicate about these issues, especially finishing higher degrees or changing careers or preparing for careers or graduate studies. Children. When to have children? When to have children? Sometimes a couple will come to me and tell me, now I am 29 and he is 32 or 33. I want to have children before reaching 30. And they are still going to their marriage after 2 weeks. Okay, and he said, no, I have to finish my PhD first. And this will take another 5 years. No, I will pass 35 at that time. I don't want to get children past 35. But you know, amniocentesis and the percentage of such a disease is, no, a dispute. If you want to have children, first of all, are you capable of getting children? Because you must have a checkup, as I mentioned before getting into marriage. And if you want to postpone for some time, I advise you not to postpone it more than 2 years, unless there is a legitimate reason. Studying, nobody with you, both of you are studying graduate study, and nobody is helping with the children. But as soon as you will be able to have children, don't stay more than 5 years, especially on pills, because it could disturb your system of hormones. So, which way of contraception? Discuss it, especially with the years of waiting to have children. And then how many do you want? Somebody, I know someone, a couple, he's insisting to have 6 children. He's a doctor, his wife is a pharmacist, and he preferred that she stay home, and he wants her to get him 6 children. And of course, from the beginning, first week she became pregnant, but he wants 6 children. And they will discuss. They will discuss way of raising children, preparing ourselves to be parents. There are certain courses we have to study. How to be good parents. How to add to the army of the saints of God more children. So, parenting skills, it needs to be studied before getting into marriage. And before marriage, by 2 months, you prepare what kind of contraception is going to be used. 2 months at least before the day of the wedding. Unless you want to get pregnant from the beginning, it's up to both of you to decide. Parenting classes, it could be taken in our churches or in the county. But of course, it would be secular in the county. But in every church, you find someone to give parenting classes. To take care, how to take care of the children in each phase of their life. During pregnancy, in the first 2 years, the 2 to 4, 4 to 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 18, 18 to 24. How to take care, how to be good parents. It's not only child development courses, but how to take care about at least 7 to 10 aspects of their life, of the children. It's because the physical development, the spiritual development, the intellectual development, the psychological development, the emotional development, the social development, the sexual development, values and the principles, and how to teach them the value of the time, the money, responsibility, have to be responsible kids and reliable. We have to put that in our mind from the beginning. Teaching this, we have to learn it ourselves as parents. So, parenting classes. What after that? The lecture for tomorrow, correct? Tomorrow we'll discuss the intimacy. By the way, you have taken with you yesterday intimacy checklist in the handout, correct? Did you read it? Did you go through it? What were your answer, yes or no? Some yes, some no? Do you have it or not? Tell me yes or no. Do you have it? Intimacy checklist at the end of the handout. Okay. I think there were 9 issues. I'm telling you, all the answers, the correct answers must be no. Go and review it again. Tomorrow we'll see companionship, was meant by companionship, and factors for companionship, and examples of exercises to do it for companionship, and then marital needs and intimacy with all its components and exercises for it. God bless you. Any questions?